Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet with a Gold Star mother and discover an innovative clinic for our women veterans at the Minneapolis VA. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day for us to pay tribute to the men and women who died in service to our country. Minnesotans have served and died in conflicts ranging from the Battle of Gettysburg to our present-day conflicts. And though Memorial Day is set aside to remember those who have died, it is also a day for us to honor their lives and their service. I encourage you to go out into your community tomorrow and attend an event sponsored by your local veterans organizations. Meet the veterans there and listen to their stories. Minnesota Military Radio is hosting a special 3-hour program Monday in honor of Memorial Day. If you're in the Twin Cities listening area, spend the morning with Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 tomorrow from 6 to 9. Or if you're outside the area, listen to the podcast at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Most importantly on this Memorial Day, I want you to know that freedom is not free. Please take a moment from your picnics and barbecues this year to remember that many brave Americans died in order for us to live the lives we have in this great country.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Jill Stevenson is the Gold Star mother of U.S. Army Ranger Corporal Benjamin Kopp, who was killed in action on July 18, 2009. Ben was an elite member of the Ranger Regiment. In addition to saving six of his fellow Rangers on the battlefield, upon his death, Ben donated his organs to further save or enhance the lives of 60 people. His heart still beats today. Since Ben's death, Jill has been committed to honoring the legacy of her son left by speaking around the country to inspire, motivate, and mentor others in our military and hospital communities, to honor Ben and all others who have sacrificed for their freedoms. Jill, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Jill, I suppose there's a few people in Minnesota that might not know what it means to be a Gold Star mother. Could you explain it to them?
Sure. A Gold Star mother is a mother who has lost a child to active military service.
And it's not something that people aspire to, but it's something that happened to you on July 18th, 2009.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about Ben, your son?
Sure. Ben was a very driven, very tenacious, very loyal, very handsome, very brave young man who loved God, his country, and his family, and so much so that he was willing to volunteer to lay down his life for our freedoms.
How early in life did you know that he was interested in becoming a ranger?
When he was about 7 years old, he noticed a curio cabinet in my grandparents' lake home. My grandfather, Ben's great-grandfather, was a World War II veteran, and that's when he started asking questions about what it was like to be in the war.
And did he get answers?
He got answers from his great-grandfather. He come from a young family, so he was blessed to go right to the source and find out the answers to those burning questions he had.
And sometimes the World War II guys don't want to talk, but apparently he talked to Ben.
He did. He was a wonderful man and had a lot of patience for the relentless questions that Ben had for him. And those questions went on for a number of years.
So you knew that when he got older and he graduated, he was headed towards the military.
And no question in my mind.
Did you support that?
I did support it. And I supported it from when Ben was about 13, because in April of 2001, his great-grandfather died from cancer, and it was very hard on Ben. He was his mentor and his hero, and it was the first death that Ben had experienced, and so he was very hurt by that. And only 5 months later, when 9/11 happened, Ben took it personal, because to him, it was not just the killing of innocent people. It was a mockery to his great-grandfather's service to America. And so at the age of 13, Ben declared that he was going to become an Army Ranger and find Osama bin Laden himself. And from that day on, I never doubted that he was going to make good on that promise.
So it was on his mind all the time?
On his mind all the time.
So did he enlist right after graduating?
He enlisted during his senior year. In the fall of his senior year, he was recruited or spoke to a recruiter, and he signed up just a couple months before he turned 18. He had a January birthday. And so he had told me that if I didn't sign up with him or sign for him, you know, prior to that birthday, he would do it anyway when he was 18. But I had supported him wanting to go into the military anyhow, so I did. Yeah.
So he was gung-ho, ready to go.
He was gung-ho, ready to go, yeah. And 1 month after he graduated from high school, he was on his way to Fort Benning, Georgia.
And did he know he was going to be a Ranger at that time?
Yes, he did. He declared it right from the beginning, which made it more difficult for him.
I'm sure it did. Then he had to go and perform, didn't he?
He did. He had to put his money where his mouth was and prove himself.
So he was a proud Ranger.
Very much so.
This is what he's wanted to do his whole life, and he went and did it.
And he went and did it, yes. 7 months after he arrived at Fort Benning to begin that infantry training, he had become a Ranger and was assigned to the 3rd Ranger Battalion at Fort Benning, Georgia.
We're speaking with Jill Stevenson, a Gold Star mother, on Minnesota Military Radio. Jill, I'm sure you remember the day that he came home and told you he was going to deploy.
Yes, I do. He called because he was stationed in Georgia.
And what did he say?
Well, we knew in advance that it was coming. The Rangers deploy on a regular basis, no matter what the situation is that's going on in the world. So once a year, about every 7 months, they deploy. So I knew it was coming, and so did he.
And did you have a chance to communicate with him while he was deployed? Did he have a chance to send texts or emails or anything?
Some emails and some phone calls, but not a lot of communication. That was one of the challenges of the deployments, is that the communication would be limited.
And when you did hear from him, he was still gung-ho and doing the thing he wanted to do?
Yeah, yes, he was. He was. During the first two deployments, he was.
He was out with his buddies, and he was doing the thing he wanted to do his whole life.
Yeah, he was, and doing what he trained for.
Can you tell us what you know about July 18th, 2009?
Well, that is the day that Ben died. And the day that he was shot was July 10th, 2009, and I received a phone call at work informing me that he had been shot and was in the hospital. He had, at that point, because of the time difference and because of the location of where the Rangers were and how they could communicate, he had already undergone the surgery and was waiting to wake up. He was still recovering from that. And he then was transported through Afghanistan to Landstuhl Army Medical Center in Germany. And then 4 days after being shot, he was at Walter Reed. And that is where I met him on the 14th of July.
What did you learn about the mission that day he was shot?
Not very much. The only thing that I know is that the snipers that were with Ben's battalion were pinned down by the Taliban snipers. And so Ben's unit was called forward to distract the bad guys, if you will, so their snipers could be free. And they did accomplish that mission. In doing so, Ben saved 6 of his fellow Rangers who were pinned down by the Taliban.
So it was a relief and a rescue mission, and it was successful, except that Ben was shot in the leg?
Yeah, there were 3 casualties that day, but Ben is the only one who died. 3 injuries, I should say.
And then they airlifted him out to a hospital in Afghanistan, then Germany, and then to Walter Reed.
Yes.
And did you go to Walter Reed then?
I did. I was able to meet him on July 14th, which was 4 days after he was shot.
Must have been a really tough time for you to be out there.
It was very difficult.
Now, you told me when we were talking earlier that when Ben was shot, he passed out, and apparently he never woke up.
He didn't pass out when he got shot. He was awake for about an hour. They were about an hour away from the camp where they were stationed, and so he was carried back to that camp by his brothers in arms, his Ranger brothers, and airlifted from there by a helicopter. It was after he was put under for his surgery that he never woke up.
So all of those days in Germany and back to Walter Reed, he never came to, and you didn't get a chance to talk to him then.
I did get a chance to talk to him. He wasn't conscious, but I did get to speak with him, and I'm very grateful. The 5 days that I got to spend at the hospital with Ben are the most precious days of my life. And if I live 200 more years, no days will mean more to me, because most of our men come home through Dover, and their parents and their loved ones meet them, meet their caskets coming off that airplane at Dover. And I got to see Ben still living, although he was, you know, breathing artificially. He was still there. His body was warm, and I got to hold his hand, and I got to tell him I love him and how proud I am of him. So I'm very grateful for that time I got to have with him at the hospital.
And I'm sure he heard you when you were talking to
him. I know he heard me.
Jill, did the doctors give you any indication the cause of death? Usually a leg wound won't do it.
A leg wound, getting shot in the leg is a seemingly survivable injury, but it caused trauma internally in his body that can't really be explained, other than to say that our bodies do some crazy things and react in ways that we don't often expect. And that is what happened with Ben, because he ended up being brain dead.
So we know that the Lord had made a place for him and came to get him that day.
He did. Yep. Yep.
Jill, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about a little more about what's happened since then and all the people that benefited from organ donation. We're speaking with Jill Stevenson, Gold Star Mother, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking today with Jill Stevenson, a Gold Star Mother of Army Ranger Corporal Benjamin Kopp, who was killed in action on July 18th, 2009. Jill, for those listeners just meeting us, you are now what you call a Gold Star Mother, and you are called that because you lost your son, who was killed in Afghanistan in 2009. And with that, you've taken on some heavy responsibilities for not just for your son and yourself, but to help other Gold Star families, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
I want to get back to the story here before we get sidetracked. One of the things that happened, well, you were out in Washington, D.C., your son didn't wake up, but he was listening to you the last 5 days of his life.
Yes.
Got to listen to your mom, guys. Pay attention out
always,
there.
Always, to the end.
To the end, and still. And so they, at some point on July 18th, 2009, determined that he was brain dead?
Correct.
And at that point, Ben apparently had volunteered to be an organ donor?
He did.
So how many people benefited from that?
The number that comes up is 60, and that is 60 people's lives were either saved or enhanced. And what I do know for certain, that there were 4 people whose lives were saved. They had been facing an imminent death had they not received Ben's organs. The enhancement comes in the form of bone, skin, and tissue.
Did you know that Ben was an organ donor?
I did. I did.
And how did you feel about that when they started that work?
I was very supportive of it. I lost a brother when I was 15 years old. I had an 11-year-old brother who was hit by a car and died. And as a family, we chose to donate his organs. And so being an organ donating family went way back for me. And so Ben had an awareness about this his whole life. So I was not surprised to know that Ben had actually written in his living will that the Rangers complete before they deploy, that he wished to be an organ donor, and specifically stated that they could use any that were needed.
So you had already thought that whole process through, and you're good with it, fortunately.
Yes.
Now I understand his heart still beats today.
It does. It does. There's a woman that lives in Winnetka, Illinois, who received almost 5 years ago the heart of a 21-year-old Army Ranger.
And you've met her.
I've met her several times and keep in regular contact with her.
Unbelievable. How is that?
It's a miracle every time I'm in her presence. And she, by a miraculous circumstance, is a friend of my cousin. I had received word that my cousin's friend needed a heart. And by the miraculous circumstance, I was able to designate her as the recipient. She did have to be a match and meet the criteria that's required to receive Ben's heart, and she was, and that was an absolute miracle. And so I've kept in regular contact with her. She hasn't had no issues with rejection, and she's about to turn 62 on Saturday, so that's pretty exciting.
That's unbelievable, and it's extremely difficult to try to understand, number one, losing a child, and number two, wow, his heart's still beating.
Yes.
It's incredible.
It is. There's a military blogger out there who's a good friend who refers to my son as the Army Ranger who refused to die, or the Army Ranger who couldn't be killed because his heart still beats and never stopped beating.
The Rangers would like that.
They do. Yes, they do.
I'm sure they do. Now, Jill, how has this affected your life? 5 years ago, this happened almost.
Yeah.
And you've been out talking about it. You've been out telling his story.
I have.
You've changed.
I've changed. I have a deeper faith, no question about that, and I have greater faith in humanity, and I have a purpose in life that I didn't have before. I was a mother, of course, to Ben, but I didn't know what my life purpose was, and Ben's life and subsequently his death has given my life purpose, and that is to share the message of hope with people, that there's hope for all of us to survive any adverse situation that comes our way. And we are here to help each other as humanitarians for one another. And my son did that times two. He joined the military voluntarily, so he was willing to sacrifice his life for you and I and everybody in this world, for people that he would never meet and people that would never meet him. And then he did it again as an organ donor by giving his organs to complete strangers.
Yeah,
and boy, that's, you know, that's quite a mentor and a role model to have. And this was my son. And so he taught me in his short 21 and a half years that he was here, what it means to be selfless and what it means to sacrifice. And so I'm committed to spending the rest of my life emulating the goodness that he brought to the world.
We're speaking with Jill Stevenson, the Gold Star mother of U.S. Army Ranger Corporal Benjamin Kopp, who was killed in action on July 18th, 2009 on Minnesota Military Radio. Jill, you wear a picture of Ben on your jacket. He's with you every day.
He is.
And by telling his story, we're learning about a hero and how he's helped people twice, but you're also reminding our listeners and all the people that hear you that we have people in harm's way.
We still do. In fact, the men of Ben's battalion are currently in Afghanistan right now.
Do you ever hear from any of them?
I do. I keep in close contact with a number of them.
Well, they got to know that Ben's mom is pulling for him back here.
Oh, they do. They do.
Now, Jill, when we first met, before we went on the radio, it was a little awkward for me, and I'm sure it's awkward for some of our listeners when you meet a Gold Star family, mother, Gold Star mom, a Gold Star dad. We aren't trained how to talk, and we don't want to cause any further pain. What would you say to our listeners when they go to speak to a Gold Star parent?
Well, I think how I answered you, Tom, was that it was uncomfortable for me when people are uncomfortable around me. And what I like is for people to not be uncomfortable and to not treat a Gold Star family member, whether it be a mother, a father, a spouse or a sibling, or really anybody you know who's had a loved one die, like we're some sort of anomaly, because we're not. And I'm not concerned about people hurting my feelings by asking me a question or talking about my son, because I've already survived the worst thing that can happen to me. And I've survived it for nearly 5 years. And so certainly you asking me about my son isn't going to hurt me any more than I've already been hurt. And speaking of him and anything that he did in his life, it keeps his spirit alive. It keeps his spirit living. It keeps his spirit around us. And that's how I believe any Gold Star family would answer that question, that talking about them keeps them here. We don't want our loved ones to be forgotten. We want them to be remembered. And to speak about them, it reminds us how much they're loved as well.
So, Jill, how can the rest of us help keep their memories alive and help respect Gold Star families and all those who we've lost, especially on a weekend like this, Memorial Day weekend?
We can remember the golden rule. You know, the golden rule is so important to me and to the well-being of our world, really. We want to do unto others as we would have others do unto us. So when you ignore the fact that someone has died, it feels to the family member like you are ignoring the person and you're not acknowledging the fact that they even lived. So to continue speaking about them acknowledges the fact that they had a life and that their life was important, and they are still living. So keep talking about it.
Jill, Ben is buried out at Arlington Cemetery, and last year you joined us live on our Memorial Day show.
Because
you usually go out there and visit with him on Memorial Day. This year you didn't go. I think it's because you were supposed to come talk to us.
It was, of course.
But what does Memorial Day mean to you, and how can we honor Memorial Day all year long?
Memorial Day is a very special holiday to me, as it honors our men and women who sacrificed their lives for our freedoms and are laid to rest in our national cemeteries, not just in this country, but around the world. It honors my son. It honors his service. It honors the men and women that served with him. It also honors all the other veterans that have served in America, because these are your brothers and sisters in arms as well. And how we can remember that year-round is to not forget, to remember, to visit the grave sites, to become aware of who the men and women are, learn about them, talk to their family members about them and why they wanted to join the service and the circumstance in which they died. Keep those memories alive. And the ignorance of not speaking about them conveys that their life wasn't important. When we keep talking about them, we keep them alive.
Jill, I didn't know Ben, but something tells me if he was here now, he'd say, good work, Mom.
Thank you.
You've been doing a great job.
Thank you.
We had about just a few seconds left. Any final thoughts?
I would like to just wish the best to all of our veterans who have served our country, and to thank personally from a Gold Star mother, each and every one of you, and to the families that will be visiting a loved one in our national cemeteries this year. My condolences to you, and thank you all for your service and sacrifice.
Jill, thanks for joining us today. That was Jill Stevenson, Gold Star mother of U.S. Army Ranger Corporal Benjamin Kopp on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. In a few moments, we'll discover an innovative clinic for our women veterans right here at the Minneapolis VA. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to discover an innovative clinic for our women veterans at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelletoe.
Memorial Day is a time to honor the memory and service of all veterans and military who have given their lives in the service of this country. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the life of every single citizen of this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute my fallen comrades. Across the generation and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many paid the ultimate price. We cannot even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. It is never over. Missions may end, but the legacies left and the pain of their absence endures. This Memorial Day, let us remember.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelletoe. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is Dr. Aaron Krebs from the Women's Healthcare Clinic. Dr. Krebs, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Dr. Krebs, we just listened to a message from Commissioner Shelletoe talking about all the veterans that we've, for hundreds of years, sent all over the world, fight wars and do the things they do. And when they're done with that and they get out of the military, some of them have some problems that follow them in their lifetime. And of course, they come out to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and VA healthcare systems all over the nation. It's pretty important to take care of those veterans who have sacrificed so much, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And you're in a new area. Something that's happened in the last decade or so. There's more and more women serving in the military and going to war and being deployed and coming home with the same kind of issues as the guys, I'm assuming. And you're at the forefront of this to take care of our women veterans.
That's right. I'm the medical director for women's health in the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And we have increasing numbers of women veterans coming through the Minneapolis VA, all of our clinics, the hospital. So that's my job, is making sure that we are growing our services and providing the services those women need and making sure they feel welcome.
Now, Doctor, you've been training for this for quite a few years, haven't you?
Indeed.
It looks like you've been in school for about the last 40 years with all of these degrees and things that you've got here. Can you tell us what your career, what your education was, how long did it take, and how many degrees do you have?
Well, I'm a native Minnesotan, so I went to the University of Minnesota. I thought I would go for a record here. I did my undergraduate degree in women's studies, not in biology or chemistry. Then I went on to medical school at the University of Minnesota, where I also did my internal medicine residency. By then, I knew I loved the VA, and I did a chief resident year at the Minneapolis VA. Then I went on to do a research fellowship, actually, at UNC Chapel Hill. So that's where I broke my University of Minnesota connection briefly.
For a short period of time. I can tell you're still a Gopher supporter, though.
Absolutely.
Now, Doctor, was it during your residency at the Minneapolis VA Health Medical Center that you got interested in working with the VA and working with veterans?
Yeah, actually, even in medical school, I started doing my rotations, my clinical rotations in the third year, and I had rotations at the VA in the surgery department, and I was amazed at how the doctors there were the best teachers, some of the best clinicians, just very dedicated to what they were doing. Prior to that, I really didn't have exposure to the VA or think about a VA career, but through my training, that's where I was introduced, and I was hooked.
Well, I would guess that was quite an eye-opening to go out there and see all us old veterans wandering around that place and all of us needing some kind of help. Wasn't that a little bit of a shock?
You know, it was, I guess, if you haven't been to a VA, you might have an idea of what it might be like. And so in many ways, the VA is not what one would expect. It is surprising. And since I work with women veterans now, I can say that not all veterans look like the classic stereotypical old veteran who you might be referring to. So all types.
I am a patient there, but the treatment I've received out there is extraordinary.
Yeah, it's a great healthcare system.
But when I go to the blood clinic and give some blood and I look around the room, there's some beat up old veterans sitting around in there. But most of them are guys. So how long ago did the VA start working on the issue of more and more women veterans coming in? And how do the women veterans feel about the VA?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. Actually, it's been going on longer than many people might think. We've had a women's clinic at the Minneapolis VA for more than 20 years. They started really small. So in those first few years, it was a couple doctors just spending a couple half days a week there, maybe one nurse, a social worker, and they only had a few hundred female veterans who came in for their care at that time. But since then, it's really grown. So now we have a larger, more comprehensive women's health center, and we're doing women's health throughout the VA. And I think that's where the growth is making sure that we are fully prepared across the whole Minneapolis VA to see women veterans at all of our clinics in all of our specialty areas.
Now, Doctor, do some of the women veterans have the perception that the VA is where all the guy veterans go, and what can they do for me? I've got women issues. I've got, you know, they do have other problems that the
sure.
guys don't have. Is that something you have to fight and battle?
I think so. And I still, unfortunately, I hear from some women, they say, you know, either they think maybe that we don't have what they need, or sometimes, unfortunately, I hear, well, you know, the VA isn't really for me. It's for people who deserve it more. They have a perception that only people with combat injuries or specific service-related injuries should be at the VA, or they're going to save that care for someone who really needs it. But we want to serve all veterans, and all veterans, especially women veterans who served, really deserve to get care.
We're speaking with Dr. Erin Krebs from the Women's Health Care Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, what type of medical services do you provide for female veterans?
Well, we provide the whole nine yards. So we do comprehensive primary care. We want all women veterans to be assigned to a primary care provider who is good at women's health, who enjoys doing women's health, who's ready to do the full spectrum of preventive care, including pap smears for cervical cancer screening, breast cancer screening, immunizations, cholesterol checks, all that, as well as coordinating any specialty care or mental health care a woman might need. We do all the usual management of chronic disease. We get people to the specialists they need. We provide full service care.
So far, if we have women veterans who are retired military or otherwise eligible because of some type of disability, you would encourage them to call up and make an appointment and come on out and see you.
They should come out and see us. Absolutely.
Do you ever have open houses for the women veterans to come out there?
We had a really successful open house about a year ago, and we're planning on doing one in the fall. And when we did that, we do get people showing up who are very surprised to see what we have.
I suppose they are. Well, if you have one this fall, you've got the new parking ramp open, and in the flag room when you walk in, it should be done by then, shouldn't it?
I think so. So these are the things everybody is appreciative of.
Get the place all fixed up, open it up, and get the women veterans out there and show them we can help you.
You got it.
It's, as a patient at the clinic, I'd urge all the women to do that. Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how you're taking care of our women veterans. We're talking to Dr. Aaron Krebs from the Women's Healthcare Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Dr. Aaron Krebs from the Women's Healthcare Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Dr. Krebs, we were talking about how you've actually been taking care of women out of the VA for 20 years, but it's kind of become a topic lately because there's more and more women veterans these days. How many women veterans do you take care of now?
You know, that's a great question. I don't have a perfect number for you, but it's about 5% of our patient population at the Minneapolis VA. That's lower than the overall percentage of women veterans in Minnesota. So we know that women are a little less likely to come and check out the VA than men are. Well, that's something we'd like to change.
We know that, at least from my family standpoint, my wife has a couple of doctors she goes and sees every year. Do you have standard services available as well as taking care of our women warriors that might have issues from various theaters of war?
Absolutely. So we want to see women at all stages of life and with all kinds of health concerns. So we are happy to help people with general wellness, health care prevention, primary care, and we're happy to help people with concerns related to their military service. So some of those concerns are common among men and women, injuries that might result in chronic pain or needing rehabilitation. Some are more common among women. I think a problem that is really well known and frequent is actually the post-traumatic stress symptoms that might come from not just combat, which women do experience, but also negative experiences in the military, military-related sexual trauma. Those are some of the tough things that some women are dealing with, and we are very aware of those health concerns and really willing and ready to help people get through that.
And you've developed special protocols for all of those areas so that you know exactly what to do to help them work through those issues?
We do, and so women can receive health care in any of the general clinics in the Minneapolis VA, including our outpatient clinics. We've got doctors and mental health care providers in all the clinics that are happy to see women, ready to see women. If they want to be seen in a really women-specific setting, we have the Women's Health Comprehensive Health Care Center. And in this clinic, we have doctors really focused on women's health care, two mental health providers who really focus entirely on women's health care. So it's a group of people who really understand some of the specific issues women might be facing.
And, Doctor, you're also set up for the annual visits that our ladies have to go for every year?
Absolutely. We do all of that. We do pap smears. We do birth control. We do contraception, not just oral contraceptive pills, but we have all the new advanced contraceptive techniques that any other gynecology clinic might offer. We do those at the Minneapolis VA. We actually provide menopause management services for our older women veterans or middle-aged women veterans who are starting to go through some of that. We have experts in all those things. So we are really, there are not a lot of problems that we cannot handle in-house. I will say, everyone always asks, when are you going to start delivering babies at the VA?
Have we delivered any yet?
No, we are not going to be doing that.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Erin Krebs from Women's Healthcare from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
I will say that we do pay for obstetric services in the community, and we help coordinate that care, but we won't deliver babies at the Minneapolis VA anytime soon.
Well, sometime there's going to be a woman veteran out there that's pregnant, and maybe she's going to have a baby. You might have one there sooner or later.
If that happens, we do have family physicians on staff who would be well prepared to handle it.
Now, Doctor, how are you reaching out to our women veterans to encourage them to make better use of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
Well, we are trying to get the word out. We communicate with veteran service officers, organizations. Many of them have women veterans coordinators, so we're trying to be connected and make sure people know about their services. Right now, there's a national effort, I know, trying to call and reach all women veterans and let them know about availability of services locally. So we expect that to drum up some business. And then getting on shows like this is important just so people know we're there, know they have the option, know they're welcome at the VA.
So, Doctor, what's the future hold for the women's health care at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
Well, one exciting thing we have underway is we're developing a new multidisciplinary breast care program. So one thing we've not done at the Minneapolis VA is mammograms. Now we have a new mammogram imaging suite in our radiology area. We have hired experienced mammography radiologists who are expert at reading mammograms. We have surgeons, pathologists, oncologists who have experience not only in the VA system, but also in the university and the private sector caring for women with breast cancer. And so we are really expanding in that area. I expect you'll be hearing more about mammograms at the Minneapolis VA later this summer.
Doctor, sounds like full service except for delivering those babies. We've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our visitors and for our women veterans out there listening?
Well, I would just encourage any woman veteran to know that the Minneapolis VA, we have services for women veterans. We want to see you. We are building and growing, and we have access and availability. So appointments are available with women's health physicians and other health care providers. So please come on in. Check us out. You deserve the best care that we can offer.
Doctor, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Erin Krebs from the Women's Healthcare in the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. Joining me now is the Scott County Veteran Service Officer, Todd Kubinski. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great. I imagine you're busy as ever.
We're always busy.
Todd, I wanted to ask you today, I got a letter in the mail from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system inviting me to, if I want to transfer over to the Shakopee VA Clinic, which is scheduled to open to patients on June 2nd, 2014. And apparently there's a grand opening on Monday, June 16th from 9 to noon.
That is correct. We are extremely excited about it. It's finally at hand. We're finally going to get our clinic open here shortly.
And how many of the veterans that you take care of in Scott County are going to transfer over there? All of them?
Just about all of them, based on the phone calls we've been getting. And we already put the phone number out for those who want to get their care transferred over to the Shakopee Clinic. And that's 952-445-4070. And I had a veteran in today that said he's already gotten his notice of his appointment there. So they're moving right along.
And Sergeant Ben will put a link up on our Facebook page at Minnesota Military Radio for anybody that missed that number. Now, Todd, is that going to be a full-service clinic? Can they do everything that the VA hospital up in Minneapolis can do?
Well, what it's going to involve is primary care, mental health care, and podiatry to start. All the CBOCs, the community-based outpatient clinics, start out with the base services like that. And then as need arises, they adjust to meet those needs, and they'll add services on, like they did up in the Ramsey Clinic by adding in the audiology clinic. That was a need that they had up there, so they added that on. And they do this as their census gets fuller.
So you sound pretty excited about that new clinic.
Oh, I can't wait for it to open. It's gonna really increase the availability of health care for our veterans in this area. and hopefully cut down on a lot of the long travel times that our veterans have to go through to get their appointments in Minneapolis.
Well, and when you visit with us next time, you'll have to tell us how that's working. Todd, this is Memorial Day weekend. What does that mean for you and for our veterans in Scott County and for all your friends down there?
Well, you know, back when these current Gulf Wars started up, people were asking, what can we do? And now's the time. This is our time to do something. And that's by making sure that if we're a business, that we look at hiring veterans because it's the best workforce available out there. It means making sure that if you see a veteran that's having some issues, that they get referred to us, or you just sit down and talk with them, or most importantly, listen to them. You know, now's the time. The war doesn't end for the veteran. When Congress says, okay, war's done, or the president says, well, combat's pretty much done. It continues on, and this is where we really need our elected officials and their community leaders to understand that the hard lifting is just now beginning, because this is when we're going to have to really provide our services and our love for our veterans to make sure that they integrate fully back into society.
And the point of contact for all our veterans is your local county veteran service officer.
Absolutely. Go to macvso.org, click on the directory, click your county, and you'll get a picture of your CVSO along with all their contact information.
Grab up your DD-214, your discharge form, and go make an appointment and visit your county veteran service officer, because you may not need him today, you might need him tomorrow, and your family might need him later.
Absolutely.
Todd, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, no problem, Tom. I enjoy being on.
Thank you. That was Todd Kaminsky, our Scott County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time, but we have a few mentions today. On Sunday, May 25th, there'll be a Memorial Day observance at the State Veterans Cemetery in Little Falls. They're hosting the annual memorial service. The event is open to the public. It'll begin at 11:30 p.m. with instrumental music provided by the Richfield Symphonic Band, traditional parade of flags, and the main program at 2 p.m., featuring keynote speaker Frank Pressfield, current state commander of the VFW of Minnesota. And then on Memorial Day, May 26th, the American Legion in Golden Valley will be holding a special event as a tribute to Vietnam-era veterans. All veterans, their families, and the public are welcome to attend this very important event. That's the Golden Valley American Legion on Memorial Day, starting at 11 a.m. And we'd like to invite you to join us on Memorial Day for a live 3-hour Minnesota Military Radio show from 6 to 9 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, a.m. 1130. Or if you're outstate, you can pick it up on iHeartRadio or listen to the podcast at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, our Gold Star mom, Jill Stevenson, Dr. Aaron Krebs, Todd Kaminsky, Commissioner Larry Shelladeau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about 200 Minnesota National Guard Red Bull soldiers preparing to deploy on another important mission. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.